The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity, flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity, flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Are you stupid or something?
Stupid is what stupid does, sir.
Third and the long two. Green takes a shotgun snap, throws the screen, left the ball, batted, and it's
an interception.
Caught with a diving interception. Deflected at the line.
Too late, too lazy with the throw. The throw is sidearm, it gets tipped. And that's an easy pick right there.
Looking downfield, he's going to be drilled from behind, and Cam Newton is brought down back at the 48-yard line.
He's got to see that.
Nobody open.
Cam's got to see that.
Play fake to Harris in the pocket. Looking downfield again, nobody open. Throws it left for Harris, makes the catch. Slips a hit at the 19-yard line.
This is ridiculous. You got tight splits, and you've got Bird and Harry running in cuts, and they meet in the middle of the field. Cam's looking at both of them. It's like a Keystone Cop rally. It's going. It's on Denver.
Bill Belichick will decline.
Legal use of hands. Hands to the face. The offense, number 78. Penalties decline.
The kick by McManus. A line drive headed to the uprights. And that kick is
money.
Good. Broncos now have a fourth and inches. And then send in three tight ends.
All right. Oh, man. New England not ready to sub here.
10.5.
Tell me they're going to waste the timeout.
Before the whistle sounds.
Oh, you got him.
Now the Pats are going to line up and go for two. 8:31 to go in an 18-9 game. Feels some pressure, starts to run straight ahead. He goes down. Sylvester Williams brings him to the turf. Nitton gets to the one.
The risk of going for two and not getting it is it's all for naught. You're still down now two possessions.
Well, that's a question for the postgame.
Wow.
You stupid or something?
It's not even an argument. There's no debate.
I'm as stupid as a stupid does.
Help me on that one.
On the going for two?
18-9. You kick it, it's one possession game. You're down by eight. You miss it. You fell on the conversion, which they did. Two possession game now. Even if you get it back, score and go for two and get eight, you're still down.
Can I tell you why I don't? It's interesting, for sure.
Oh, is it?
It's unusual.
Explain it.
I here's why I don't have as big of an issue with it as you do. All you're basically doing is changing the possession in which you're going for two. And so
if you get it.
Right. But if you don't get it, you're out of the game and you're losing anyway. Do you know, I'm talking about another touchdown.
I understand
assuming,
that.
Right?
You will have you have the option to kick it and tie the game or go for the win.
You're just sort of, well, no, because no. You'd be down
eight.
If
you cut it to seven, saying.
No, you wouldn't cut it. With the 2 points.
If you got the first conversion.
Correct.
Yeah, you cut it to seven.
Right, you cut it to seven. Yeah. And if you don't, you're in the same boat you would have been in if had you kicked the field goal on the one to go within one possession. You're still in the same boat.
How are you doing on offense prior to that?
You have to go for two at one point to make that a one possession game.
How was your offense doing prior to that?
Whether it's on that touchdown or the next touchdown, you're going for two at some point either way if you're trying to close the gap with two scores.
Were you going up and down? Were you going up and down the field offensively prior to that?
No, I'm just telling you that it's all it's doing.
I'd cut it to the one possession.
You're choosing a different possession to try it it on.
I understand.
And
look, if it's a track meet, maybe you go for two there. And this, like, we're gonna get the ball back. We're gonna move it.
This is my thought. If you just fast forward the decision to go for two, which you would have decided had you kicked the field goal and then scored another touchdown, right? You're going for two.
Yeah.
So they move it forward because I think it gives you a better understanding of, is this really, you're playing for the win there instead of trying to tie it, which is kind of silly.
Are you playing for the win there? Are you
really? Because given the way they're playing there, given the way
they're playing for the tie,
are you really playing for the win? You can't say they're playing for the win. You need to tell me they're going to go for two if they score again.
Because if you don't get the two and you know it's a two possession game, I think you might manage the clock differently. I think you might manage the time left in the game differently.
A lot of thinking, but the
it is
other
a lot
team.
Of thinking, but I think that's what I'm just trying to understand. I wouldn't do it. Listen,
no, I know.
Me, I'm kicked the field goal.
I don't think 98% of coaches would do that.
I know, but I'm just trying to figure out and understand why it is Bill Belichick may have decided to do that, because he's not stupid.
No, he's not.
Right?
Nope.
So I'm just curious, and I think that might be part of it.
To play for the win.
You're fast
that's
forwarding.
That's the only thing I can think of is that you were going to try and play for the win.
Yes.
Right? But
yes.
But in terms of, you know, swapping out the possession, I don't buy that, because
isn't it one and the same?
Or swapping out? No,
even close.
Because when you give the ball back to the other team, you only need they operate under the assumption that you only need the ball one more time. When you fail on that 2-point conversion, the other team, a smart team, might take better care of the ball and hold on to it longer.
They
need it twice. So all we got to do is we can even give it to them one more time. They can't even tie us by getting the ball one more time. With that amount of time left on the clock, a better team probably would have held on to the football a little bit better and not allowed you back in. You know, the only reason why you're in it at the end is because the Broncos...
Because it was a two-score game, is that what you're saying?
Threw back-to-back picks. It's not about which time you do it. It's about how many more possessions do you need and what the other team will do based on the number of possessions that you need. That's how I look at it.
8 minutes and 30 seconds left, right? When they went for two?
Sounds right, yeah.
If you go for one there, the Broncos could hold the ball for 7.5 minutes and not score, and you still have a chance to win.
Yes.
You still have a chance to tie, go to overtime.
Like, it's a possession game.
Do you get the ball with 30 seconds left and you have a chance to tie the game?
Right.
If you're down 9, that's not the case.
Okay, but again, if you all of a sudden...
Time of game, he's right. Time of game, possessions left, your flow of the game, the way your offense is going, there's no reason you should even think of going for two there. Because even if, like, he's right, if Denver after that, like, you're down to 8 minutes, it's not like middle of second quarter, you do that, and I think we brush this aside.
You're one big cam run or one bad pass interference call away from tying it up.
Listen, I agree with you guys. I would not have done it. I'm just trying to understand. I'm trying to play the devil's advocate here.
And
because I didn't fully get it.
Denver puckered up enough as we saw. How much would they have if they knew that it was only one possession they needed to tie the game?
Oof.
They knew they had two possessions and they still puckered up.
Did Bill give a long explanation and some insight into his football decision making after the game? Because I'd be really interested to know. I really would. It's curious, and I'm curious to know what goes into that decision to go for two there. It's unconventional, to say the least. So I'd like to know.
Do you want to hear what he said?
Yeah, you got it there?
Oh, I got it.
Let's hear it, Bill. What do you got for us?
Asked about going for two after the touchdown. Yeah. Why do it there?
We thought it was the best thing to do at that point.
No. Well, thanks for that, Bill. That clears that up.
That was the answer.
Oh. All right. I guess we're not going to get much more on that.
This came up on Sunday Night Football again. They talked about going for two in the analytics. Remember last week? Do you want to hear them this week talking about it?
Yes, I do. Unfortunately, I do.
So it's 24-16.
You want to get into this debate about whether you go for two?
We had this in the lobby on the way back.
We had a lobby debate over this very topic.
I agree with because my point is this. The Rams, had they gone for two and missed it, they still would have needed two drives to score. This way they know they only have to get the ball back once, get a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. I mean, that's a lot to get, obviously. We're talking about that. But, I mean, if you're a player, I mean, if you just scored a touchdown and you know you've got to go down and score twice, I mean, what does that do to you emotionally?
But at the very least, you know
whether or not you're going to have to score twice. So you might kick an onside kick here.
No.
I mean, you can't transfer over not getting the two-point conversion here to the next time, but that's the reason coaches do it. They want to know right now, not on the final drive, if they need to go for onside kicks, the extra possession.
Now, I love analytics as much as you do, but sometimes I got to put the analytics in the dumpster. Sorry.
Yes, there you go, Michaels. Thank you. You don't love analytics. Don't lie to me. You don't love that.
Chris
football.
Collinsworth, somebody that never won anything in his life, is the guy that likes analytics.
Oh.
What has he won? What has that guy ever won?
Hold on a second. You're gonna take away from Chris Collinsworth's career because his teams didn't win a Super Bowl? That's not right.
Yeah, beat by Joe Montana.
This league has had tons of great all-time
good
players.
Good receiver.
That have not won Super Bowls. So I don't think that's fair. He was a great player. Collinsworth was a great player.
Great. He's terrible with this analytics stuff.
He's just invested in it. And I mean literally,
yeah, exactly.
Invested in it.
That makes
monetarily.
It worse.
He's invested in Pro Football Focus.
That makes it worse. He might not actually believe it.
He likes his bank account. That's what it is. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll get right back to your calls. I see the lines are loaded. We're getting to those next,
calls next.
On the Patriots.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Comes to sports,
they're knowledgeable.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over.
And always on their game.
I walk around my house naked all the time.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Third and the long two. Green takes a shotgun snap, throws the screen left, the ball batted, and it's
an interception.
Caught with a diving interception. Deflected at the line. Shelby Harris, who makes that his specialty, deflecting the pass. On the screen with the interception by Deshaun Williams.
Too late, too lazy with the throw. The throw is sidearm, it gets tipped, and that's an easy pick right there. It's predetermined. He doesn't move his feet, does Cam. Cam's got to back up more and bait the defender into him and then go over the top with the throw. It's an easy deflection, and now you're paying for this one.
Zoe had some greatest hits on the broadcast yesterday. That's what I hear. Hear great things about you yesterday. Hearing great things about you.
Yeah, really. Breaking it down.
Word on the street. Zoe was on fire yesterday.
Rides the roller coaster of emotion like the
fans. Sure does. I love it.
That's what I'm here for. That's what the color guy's job is.
Bruins Luchador says, you only invest in things you believe in. Corporate Jim would know that, but he's too busy wearing shorts.
I agree.
Last week I made the transition.
Yeah, all to Jim's credit.
Oh, you're all jeans now.
To Jim's credit, he turned into not weirdo. You know, it's middle of October. You wear shorts middle of October. You got issues.
I'm rocking shorts today.
Oh, it's a little odd.
It's because all my clothes are in storage, but that's another story. Yeah. 617.
I'm sure you would love your Pumas tracksuit right now. You would love to wear
it. I love it. Adidas tracksuit. Where is it? 617.
Adidas, that's right.
779-0985. Is the phone number. Here's another explanation that got tweeted into us from Dan Maloof, who says, having 30 seconds left down eight and the ability to tie is great, but if you miss the two-pointer there, you have time left to make up for it. If you miss the two-pointer on the earlier end, 7 minutes to go, you could tailor your approach knowing you have two scores.
Yeah.
That's a nice, concise way of saying what I had said, which is great.
Then you turn into offensive panic after that, right?
Because but you sort of forget,
are they a good two-minute rush team? No.
No.
They're better huddling and sort of trying to control the tempo, you know, with the run, with the pass, with the threat of Cam's legs.
Right.
If you don't have that in two minutes.
If you get to the end of the game and you go for two and you don't get it, the same way they didn't get it, that's it. Game over, you lose. If you don't get it earlier, you've at least got time to try and make up for it. I guess that's what it is.
But then that's not your offense. And that's even more evident against the Chiefs where you're huddling late in the game. You know, it's just right now they don't have that two-minute hurry-up turbo offense.
617-779-0985. Nate in New Bedford. Thanks for hanging on, Nate.
Hey, what's going on, guys? What up, Zoe?
What's up?
What's up? Hey, one question for you guys. I just, looking at this whole thing and looking at this picture, would you rather have a next few years of patch jobs like we've had over the years, meaning looking at we had Tom Brady to help alleviate that and just do here and there and not have talented players? Or would you rather hit the reset button and start over, find your franchise guy, and actually get talented players in here?
Okay, so the options are, you're counting N'Keal Harry as what, is it like a transitional player? I mean, he was a first-round pick.
No. I'm saying to start over, I'm saying is seeing what they've done in the past and seeing how Brady can actually coach these guys up too and help a lot of these guys that are not talented players, you know, work through this and seeing, yes, we have a great coaching staff. Would you rather have a long term of doing this, patching in, or would you rather hit the reset button and have these guys get coached up from the very beginning?
So it's sort of that classic argument. Do you want to be a competitive team that is, 8-8 or 9-7 or 10-6?
You want that shot. You want a shot to compete every year.
Or do you want to have a team that goes 2-14, you go to the bottom, you stock up in the draft, and you then go on another run?
No, I don't want to be the Red Sox.
I don't want to be that team.
No, I want to be the team that's there every year.
Because with this coach, you're always in the mix.
When you have this coach,
and you can be competitive.
You said at the start of the show, too, as angry as you are today, the season is not over.
No,
they're going to be okay.
They're going to be all right.
And I said this on Fifth Quarter last night. You get David Andrews back. That's first and foremost. So you get him back off the thumb surgery. That's like a 3-week deal. You get him in there. You get Shaq Mason off COVID. It kicks Tooney back to left guard. Shaq Mason, Andrews, your wind's going back to left. And if Illuminor can't go, Awenu and Haran got the right tackle. You're going to be okay from a continuity standpoint up front, which means you will solidify the offensive line. That is coming. That's around the corner. You could hang your hat on that.
Any word on Illuminor?
No.
Okay.
Nothing. I don't know. Not down there. Who knows?
Of how serious
it did look good.
Was.
He couldn't put weight on it.
It looked like it was a...
He was...
ankle or high
hobbling
ankle.
Off the field.
Yeah.
So who do you put that on, Zoe? That injury? Is that on Cam for holding the ball, or is that on the tight? Was it Izzo for not blocking that guy?
I hate to blame anybody for an injury like that. Like, that's end of a play. Guy gets rolled up. I mean,
there's an end of a play that shouldn't have been the play. Yeah, the play's been over by then.
But that's football.
It's
like
that
happens
all the time. Sammy Morris for missing the block that hit Brady's knee. I mean, that's...
No.
He's trying to block a guy. That's what you try to do. I just think it was a really heads-up play by the backside end after he saw, sits a tight end chipping in the flat. They're not throwing to him. I'm going. And he just comes late from that left side and drills him in the back. But to the point with Cam, you got to priff that a little bit. You're so turned to that right.
Yeah.
Like he's got to be able to feel that a little bit because the clock. It's not like 1-2, boom, he's hit. It's 1, 2, 2.5, 3. Then he gets hit. I'm yelling, throw it.
Poppy in Duxbury today. Poppy.
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry about that. I had you on speaker because I was listening for a while.
Is that P-O? P-O-P-P-I or P-O-P-P-Y?
It's a Y.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no problem.
All right.
I was just wondering what you guys thought about the defense yesterday. I've heard a lot, and I know the offense was pretty poor, but defense, I know they held them to the field goals, but... just wondering what you thought about them.
Well, red zone defense is good.
I thought Hardy made an interesting point earlier. Where was Chase Winovich yesterday?
Mm.
Very few snaps there for Chase yesterday.
I thought people tell me, hey, he's out there.
I was told he was out there, and it turns out he wasn't out there. He was out there for 20 snaps. Zoe, you said it at the beginning of the broadcast, listening to you and Sosi, and I believe either you or Bob said something to the effect of, Chase Winovich into the game. Haven't seen him.
Then they started to spot him just on only third down. He's your second best defensive player.
I don't know.
This year.
Right.
Gilmore's one. He's the way he's been trending. And his impact, it was noticeable yesterday. Maybe he was pumping the merch too much. YouTube channel.
Oh, boy.
Chupacabra.
I refuse to believe that that's the case.
I hope that's
the case. I refuse to believe that's the case.
You think that his appearance here is why he played less yesterday?
Not his appearance, but when you dabble in other things, that's not just all football, and you're a young player.
Well, like
could
voodoo?
Be an issue in the building.
Is he practicing Santeria? What's he doing that they don't like?
That's an issue? What?
Are they upset with his beliefs issue? Or the fact that he's promoting his beliefs on the radio?
I don't think they give a care about the beliefs. I think they just would like just football players to play football.
Is it Mothman?
I don't think they're
maybe
big
Belichick's a Mothman.
I don't
guy.
Think they're big
anti-Mothman.
Maybe Belichick believes in moon landing.
He's a rabid anti-Mothmite.
Or anti-moon landing. Maybe Belichick believes Bigfoot's out there. Maybe he's seen him. Maybe he's had him as a player. 6'8", 3'10", defensive lineman. Those guys
are coming. Are you telling me that the Chase Winovich interview, someone's going to try to pull the plug on it?
I hope that's not the case.
In 2 weeks.
Like you know, they don't mind you doing the Monday. Like, there's guys that are contracted to do the Monday and Friday deal because of deals you have with radio station.
Yeah.
As Bill has, too. Tuesday's an off day. That's a good day to do stuff. I could see, like, well, why are you doing a Thursday interview? You got enough time during lunch to do an interview, huh?
Oh, man.
Here's 20 snaps.
Oh, man.
No way.
This can't be.
I'm not saying that. I hope
you
that's
are
not.
Saying it, though. You're suggesting it is He's, what you are.
His interview is so good. I talked to Mike Reese. Mike Reese said it's the best interview in town.
Well, it Loves is. It. Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
He said him and Cam are the two best interviews.
That means something coming from the best Patriots reporter in town.
The fact Cam's phone is so bad, that interview's not going so well, I guess. But he said, my God, the Winovich interview is huge. So let's hope that's not the case.
I would hope so as well. Okay. Very good.
I just wanted to believe.
You know what I'm saying?
Remember, I mean, when I told you at the beginning of the game, you said he hasn't been out there yet. And I said, no, I think he was out there for the first few snaps with his hand on the ground, like interior.
Yeah. Okay.
So he was. I went back and watched it just to make sure my eyes were playing tricks on me. They didn't do that the rest of the game. First series, he got his ass kicked on the first three snaps of the game, and they didn't put him back in that spot the rest of the game. Okay. They just played him outside.
He's an outside guy to me. He's not a hand down inside guy because of his size. You have a second year quarterback in Drew Lock coming off an injury. Like, that would be like, let's get Winovich on this guy. Right?
Yeah. I was thinking that was going to happen yesterday. I thought they were going to get there with regularity. I thought it was going to be a big day for Chase Winovich. That was not the case.
They put him in on throwing downs, though. He was in on third down passing situations every time. He just didn't go in the game on first and second down.
Correct. Yeah, we do that Patriots This Week show and, like, game changers. I think I went with James. Well, I think Perillo actually picked Chase Winovich to be Hardy, you do some stuff with Paul. Was he surprised he wasn't in there?
My recollection of the post game was that there was...
No, serious question. Like,
there was disagreement as to how much he played.
Is that right?
And we didn't have the snap counts.
I didn't feel like he
there.
Played.
That's how I felt. I was told I was wrong to feel that way.
All right.
So, Hardy, he started and played the first series. But then they took him
he
out
did
and, only,
start.
And only played him on third down the rest of the game. That was it.
That must have been where the
he played
disagreement.
Four snaps in the first series, four or five snaps, and that's it. And then he was out the rest of the
that
game.
That must have been
I
where
get
the
disagreement. To see Hardy in there yesterday. Who are you going to believe? Me or your lying eyes?
That was probably the genesis of the disagreement, Jim. And I, as I incorrectly stated, that did he start? Because I don't think he started. And like, oh, he started. I don't even pay attention to who starts. And Dussault's very much into the defense. So
his name starts with a D.
I felt like I didn't see him a whole lot yesterday. And I was told maybe I was wrong for feeling that way. As it turns out, I didn't see him a lot yesterday.
No, you saw him on the first drive and then only 15 snaps after that.
Well, Jim, I don't know. Maybe you're wrong, too.
Go rewatch it, Katie.
You know, they got people that count those things.
Yeah, called statisticians.
He's easy to pick out, too.
Connor's in the car.
Things were touchy. Things were touchy yesterday.
I can tell. Connor.
Everybody's on edge.
Hello.
Hi, Connor.
Yo, what's up?
Hi, what's up, man?
Hey, so I'm a Denver Bronco fan. I watched the game over the weekend. My question is, with the bad snaps, the stupid plays, the no challenge, the turnovers, the missed throws, the missed two-pointer, do you guys feel like the Patriots are just another team now? Like,
no.
They've lost this ability that they make every team make the stupid mistakes, and now they're making the stupid mistakes. I'll hang up and look.
All right, it's a very fair point by Connor here.
It's a good question.
They don't have that automatic edge over the other team like they used to.
Yeah.
He's right. Sometimes they have it. They still have good coaching.
Yeah, and I don't think they've totally turned it. Sorry, Zoe, but I heard Fred say this morning, and I understand what he's saying. I don't quite agree with him in that Patriots fans get used to this because these are the conversations you have as a fan of a, you know, bad team. If only they, and what if they hadn't, and it should have gone the other way, and that's a team you should have beaten. It happened yesterday, okay? It happened yesterday at Gillette, absolutely. All those things. What if they had done this? What if it had gone this way? That's a team you had no business losing to. They haven't turned that corner yet, I don't think, because of the coach and because of some of the inherent talent left on the team. However, these are the conversations that get had by Jets fans and Lions fans.
You're not there.
And fans of bad teams all over the country, but you're not there yet. I don't think you're there yet.
No.
Read and React is coming up next, by the way. Jermaine Illuminor tweeted after the game, blessed with the two... with multiple
lots of
prayer
prayers.
Emojis.
Lots of prayers.
Is he going to manage the Red Sox next year?
We'll get to that.
Did he do Google Eyes? We'll get to that.
A little later on.
Googly moogly.
The hands in prayer with blessed. We'll take that as a good sign. Let's get to Read and React. It's coming up after Hardy's headline.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Drive home with Felger and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's time to read.
That sounds highly optimistic.
Oh. I'll beat up until you're breaking up.
There's...
And react.
A.
B.
Yeah.
C.
With Zolak and Bertrand.
That's wild.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's Read and React, and it's brought to you by the Flying Locksmiths. Physical safety is more than just locks and keys. Go to flyinglocksmiths.com to schedule your free commercial property survey, because your safety is worth it. Hardy?
Read. React.
Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, and the Bucks blew out the Packers 38-10. Who would have ever picked the Packers in that game? Head coach Bruce Arians, the quarterback and the tight end. Man, quite a connection they got there.
Yeah, I thought Tom and Rob had great connections, crossing routes. We got the matchup we were looking for on the fade ball. Gronk did a heck of a job of adjusting to that ball and getting the touchdown. So I just wish he could have spiked it with his right shoulder, but his right shoulder's hurt, so he missed his good spikes. But he made some huge, huge plays on us.
Oh, so he's got a right shoulder issue. Thanks, Coach. Very Tomlin-esque of you.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, why is he spiking it with his left arm with that white big thing he has on?
Why is the coach paying attention to what hand he spikes the ball with?
That's good.
5 catches, 78 yards, and a touchdown for Gronk. He looked
the best he's looked all year.
Looked good out there for the first time all year, I thought.
Yeah.
Wanted the ball.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Congratulations, though. I know that that's the most important thing to you yesterday.
After I moved on, that was next. Yes, next most important thing for me on the docket.
How long was the fifth quarter yesterday, by the way?
Hour and a half.
Did that cut into your Brady viewing a little bit?
Yep.
A little upset with that?
Because I saw it on the, they had it running back there on the DraftKings on the boards.
Oh, nice. That's good.
I was able to watch it.
Congratulations.
Read.
Football.
React.
I love that guy. Oh, my God.
Steelers dismantle the Browns 38-7.
Their ass is back.
Steelers.
Mike Tomlin. What did he have in the win? Talk. Any injury updates for us in the win there, Coach? Let's see.
Stop.
Had to say.
Really excited for our group, man. That was varsity ball today. They stepped up and stepped up big, really kind of all across the board and met a challenge versus a very good and a team that was very hot. Appreciative of their efforts. It's not without consequence. Devin Bush appears to have a significant knee injury. He's being evaluated. Pouncey went down with a foot. He was able to get through the majority of the game with it, but we pulled him at the end.
By the way, I didn't know this. I was joking. I didn't think he was going to come off that win. And
he always does.
That's
his routine.
But I saw it was like, this is 30 seconds long.
You guys saw him come off, and Mike Hilton's got a shoulder that needs to be evaluated. But can't say enough about the efforts of our guys.
So if you thought Devin Bush, Bush maybe is going to get out of there safely. No, he's dealing with a significant knee injury. Jesus. Hey, what's the term he used? We're not going to be, you know.
Varsity ball. He said they're going to play varsity. They played varsity ball. Well,
we're not going to be transparent.
He's right in saying that they were going up against a hot Browns team. They absolutely did dismantle them, as you said. Baker Mayfield looked like garbage yesterday. Pittsburgh's 5-0.
Why does he always, why on the sideline when he takes his helmet off, he's got his headband on and somebody else talking, Baker's like wide-eyed, like, what's going on?
He's sort of a dink.
You're waiting. I was waiting for Odell Beckham to snap.
I think he's about three quarters dopey. That's why.
The Steelers have played five games. Four of them have been at home.
Yeah.
As easy
a lot of travel.
Easy schedule so far.
And they're getting fans, too. Right.
But they look good. Credit where credit is due.
No, hey, fans would have helped the Patriots yesterday.
Yes, I do. I do think fans fans would help this team this year. I do because of the quarterback. Because I think fans would get excited when he makes plays. And I think they would feed off that. When you're an inferior team, you need that juice. I'm telling you.
All right.
Reed.
Go.
React.
Quah.
Titans beat the Texans 42-36. Houston was up 7 after a touchdown late in the game. Romeo Crennel decided to go for 2. Make it.
This one. There's zero debate or discussion on this one.
Go for 2.
This one is insane.
To make it a 9-point lead, and they missed. So here's Romeo Crennel on his decision-making process.
Well, I wanted to go ahead and get the 2 points. Felt like that would kind of put it out of reach for them. And if we had gotten it, we'd have been in much better shape. As it turned out, we didn't get it. And then with the touchdown and the extra point, they tied it up, and then we were in overtime. And then we didn't perform in overtime, and they win the game.
Well, at least he's going for the win there.
Why? Going up 9 puts it out of reach?
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes it 2 possessions. Because when it's 2 possessions, it seems more futile for the offense.
Well, I guess the reverse would be true, is what you're saying, Jim, in the Patriots game. Being down 9 puts it out of reach.
If I was Romeo, I would have kicked it. I would not have gone for 2. Good, but I think he's got a desperate
there was less time in that. There was less time in that game. I put it that way. It wasn't 8.5 minutes left. Still dumb.
We're going to talk about what Mike Vrabel did in that game.
Oh, my God. Where's he getting all this from?
3 minutes and 18 seconds left.
Where's he finding all these loopholes?
He intentionally puts a 12th man on the field to get the clock to stop.
And then he's going to go, oh, no.
It was second and short. He knew the first down would be picked up. He didn't want to let any more time go off the clock than needed to. So he gave the other team a first down to stop the clock. It was great coaching. And turns out today, upon review, he also did it in 2018 in a game against the New York Jets. Great management. We'll pick that up, though. We'll get to that.
Reed.
College football! Fox Sports! The Big 12!
React.
Did you get to make a call like that yesterday, Zoe?
What do you think?
He didn't have enough good things to do.
What do you think?
He didn't have any excited calls.
Okay, all right.
Nick Folk! Field goal! Still trailing! Foxborough!
You did say high school football a few times watching the Patriots offense.
Yeah.
Bears are 5-1. Chicago Bears, 5-1. They beat the Panthers 23-16. Nick Foles, he's your quarterback. He talked about his team's mindset.
Poor Philly.
After the win. Mindset is to win. What's the mindset there, Nick?
Now, we're not going to get complacent and say, hey, man, we're 5-1. This is it. No, like we're sitting there in the locker room after the game talking through it. Hey, we got to be better here. This is what we got to do here. Communication here, route running here. I know you're all going to ask those questions. We know that.
Listen.
I'd rather get excited about the game than get ready to party.
Okay.
He's got a scowl thing to him, doesn't he?
And I'm tired of this from Nick and this being applauded, and someone else in this show last night dripping with praise over Tom Brady up late in the game, studying his tablet,
Do you think that was me?
No.
No, okay.
It was Zoe. This is the same guy
who threw the tablet last week when he realized he didn't have any downs or timeouts left.
Well, yeah, when you are down in a game, and whether it's in Tampa Bay or whether it was in Foxborough, he's trailing. Was he studying his tablet late in the game when they were trailing? He's
trying to get better, Hardy.
No. Answer the question. Did you see Tom Brady studying the tablet late in games when he was trailing?
No,
it didn't happen all that often, but no. What he did was he sat there and pouted.
I love
it's very easy to be enthusiastic when you're Nick Foles and the Bears or Tom Brady and you're winning a game. It's like, yeah, man, this is great, but next time we're going to do this. That just comes with the territory of winning.
You're right. There's no such thing of a team sitting there geeked up about, well, we can run this route better after a game. Not bullcrap. You can't wait to get home. Who's going to party? What house are we partying at? Let's go. Let's get it going. I'll get the pizza. I'll bring the wings. Let's go. Watch late game. Watch late game, Miles. No,
and that's what's exciting because we don't have to have y'all say, like, hey, you doing this? Hey, we know. But we also know that we're going to improve because we believe in one another. And that's what great teams do. Great teams find a way to win a game.
Scale.
Do you want to listen to the last 35 seconds?
No, I just want to say I hear that Sports Hub West in Chicago must be doing well. Ratings are up. Sports are hot in Chicago again, man.
Bad teams win with prettiness.
What? Jim, am I right? I'm not listening to that prettiness crap.
Great teams win no matter how it takes.
You think Chicago pregame?
I'm not even.
Me, no, you do.
Yeah.
You think Chicago
bad
pregame
teams
show takes calls?
Win with prettiness. Great teams win no matter how it takes.
This guy's great.
So I'm proud of our guys.
He got hit in the head. He got hit in the head yesterday. Me, no, like me football. Me play hard, study.
We must over me. 49ers win.
Me do.
No matter how it takes.
Thank you.
No matter how it takes.
You thanks for preparation of 49ers game football win.
No matter how it takes.
That guy beat you in a Super Bowl. Him and Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Wow.
They don't think it be like it is, but it do.
I like the communication that's happening on the sideline. I love the passion of the
players.
Enough.
I can't stand this
guy. Most important, they care. And we're bonding. We're getting to know each other.
Shut up.
I had no reason not to like this guy, but now I can't stand listening to him.
Here's the problem. You have to like him if you're a Bears fan because you can't stand Mitch.
Football philosopher.
But there's
no way
someone's in Chicago saying, yeah, this guy's the boss.
You got to care about the man next to you.
Oh, come on.
No, you don't.
Can we just play the game?
To make those plays.
Oh, my God. Anything else? No more.
I want the Bears lose.
Come on.
I want the Bears lose.
They got no reason not to like the guy until now.
Read.
What? You know, so it goes.
React.
Oh, boy.
No matter how it takes.
Wait a minute, I'm not fool.
Football. Let's take a quick timeout from football to discuss what Jim brought up a few minutes ago, which is Alex Cora coming back? Did Alex Cora get hired over the weekend? We'll get to that next.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Charlie Morton, Mike Lowell, David Ortiz, Euculus, Dave Dombrowski, Davey Johnson, Dustin Pedroia, Juan Centeno, Kevin Millar, Tony La Russa, Kelly Pedroia, Tito Francona, Ron Renicki, Sandy Alomar Sr.
The hell happened over the weekend with Alex Cora? What is going on here? I'm supposed to interpret this tweet of his that was from October 18th of 2017 when he was getting hired by the Red Sox the first time. At 12.05 a.m. on the 18th, which would be late Saturday night into early Sunday morning, Alex Cora tacked on a reply to his tweet from 3 calendar years ago with times. Oh, first of all, the tweet from 3 years ago was blessed with some exclamation points. He tacked on another tweet exactly 3 years later with a X2 times 2 with the praying hands emoji. Is that him telling us that he got hired a second time?
No.
What is it?
I don't know. I'm not into deciphering Twitter tweets.
Well, you just said no, so you deciphered it a little bit.
He can't do that because you can't hire him yet because the season's not over.
So
that'd be illegal.
Wait, you know they're talking right now?
I think they were talking all the time, yeah. I'm sure they have people to talk. Yeah.
People, agents, et cetera.
A smart person wouldn't put that out there like that if that was the case.
I mean, it immediately leads to the speculation that, oh, he's back. He's just right there, confirming it. 3 years later, he's coming back. There it is. That's what it looks like. That's the appearance that he gives. Carrabba's keeps retweeting it, of course.
Yeah. Which leads me to believe it's probably not going to happen. Like, he would know, you know?
Oh, Jared, he absolutely would.
I think Jared, yeah. I think these are wishful thinking type tweets. And knowing Carrabba's, and when he's got some, he puts it out there.
He just keeps retweeting Alex Cora 2021.
He's trying to bait, which means tells me Carrabba's has no clue right now.
Into his tweets.
I know Carrabba's, the way he tweets and his mojo, more so than I know Alex Cora. Yeah. I follow Jared. I've watched him tweet and sort of have fun with his tweets, and I've gone back and forth with him over the years.
What about independent of that, the way they've assembled their staff?
I don't read that much into that.
Yeah, break down the staff. I can't break down the Red Sox.
I mean, really, and leaving right a bench, leaving an opening for Renicky to come back. I mean, it just all feels too dirty. I don't think he's coming back. I think it would feel too dirty.
Look, all he said was blessed, and times two thanks.
He's by the way,
he's got paid one well. A day, and then 13 hours ago, the eyes.
It is. Oh, the eyes were for Mookie Betts.
Okay, so there's that.
Happened right at the same time.
Everybody feels blessed on their birthday.
His birthday is October 18th.
You have health and you have money.
But putting times two on a tweet from exactly 3 years ago when the report started to surface that he was the pick. I mean,
maybe he's...
How do you know?
Maybe he's got a gig elsewhere.
How do you know the eyes are for Mookie Betts?
It happened right at the same time.
These eyes.
Like, the Betts catch happened, and then he tweeted that. These eyes aren't gonna... So I think that's what that was all about.
Jimmy's brother, you're the singer.
Not only that, there has been complete silence about the Red Sox in their interview process for their managerial job, which leads me to believe they're not interviewing anybody.
No, they put Ramon Vasquez on the staff, who's Cora's best buddy.
Yeah. That happened.
Gammon says that, you know, I mean, it's Gammon, so who knows to believe it or not.
Isn't that sad? You get to a Gammon's tweet these days, and you're like, well, is that real or not?
He tweeted something crazy the other day.
What?
The hell was it?
Who else is going to fit into that staff seamlessly? Who else is going to fit into the staff that they've assembled seamlessly?
Nobody, because a new manager would probably want his own staff.
Unless it's Veritek. Unless it's somebody like that.
Gammon didn't know what a Twix bar was the other day. So you take that tweet from that guy.
No, Tom said that was Bob Ryan.
Or Bob Ryan, sorry. Same thing.
Really?
Well, same type of guy, you know. Yeah, when you look at the Lodge, those guys are like at the same table, right?
I don't know.
What do you think? They get them one of those swinging chairs out on the deck?
I don't know what their ages are, but I know that Bob Ryan seems a lot younger than Peter Gammons.
I think you'd be shocked how close they are in age, probably.
Really?
Yeah. I bet they're within 5 years of each other.
Yeah, maybe, but Bob Ryan's not an old guy. It's not an old guy. I mean, you talk to
Bob
him,
Ryan's always looked the same. That's one thing about
Bob. He doesn't come off like an old guy.
He doesn't, but Bob Ryan has always looked the same to me. Like, he doesn't age. It's like Dick Clark. Always looks like the same guy. Always had white hair.
Hey, Gammons is 75. Bob Ryan's 74.
Nailed it. I should have lost.
I would just say, good for Bob Ryan.
I should do ages at the circus.
Good for Bob Ryan.
Gammons is only a few years older than Belichick. They're like 6-7 years older than Belichick, right?
That's sort of a big gap, though. It's not like 2 years.
Not really. Zoe just said, I bet you they're within 5 years of each other.
Well, that's seven is on five. Five is the outer reaches of close.
How many years between you and your wife?
Years?
Yeah.
Zero.
Hardy?
6 months.
Yeah, 6 months.
5 years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed she was 5 years older than you. That's weird.
No, I go younger.
Younger women.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
They're the same age difference as you and I, Beetle. Belichick and Gammons.
Which will be a much more discernible gap when you get to that age.
See, but I look at you two guys as the like the same. I'll put you
guys. Yeah, we sort of are.
I'll put you guys
the
same
generation.
Table. Same table.
All right.
Same mindset.
All right. Well, it looks like Alex Cora is coming back. That's what it looks like to me. I mean, just being like, take it on its simplest level. Oh, you're back? Oh, okay. The staff's in place for you already? Okay.
I know we're late, though. Doesn't the World Series matchup, though, give you a little bit of hope for the Red Sox, though? Because it's the guy that used to run the Rays and the guy that runs the Rays, the Rays are in there. And now the guy that used to be with that organization's here.
We're going
to
get to this at some point this week. Not today. We don't have time for it today, but I'm with you on that. I was rooting for the Rays the other night for multiple reasons. 617-779-0985. And Arozarena, man, I really like that guy. I do. Guy's a star in the making. Get to your calls on the Patriots. We'll get right back to them, I promise, in 90 seconds after these headlines.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.